Amen. How many 8-tracks do you still got? Anybody got a vehicle that still plays an 8-track? I still have a CD player, so, you know. Well, we are going to dismiss the kids. I know, it's terrible. We're going to dismiss the kids and the youth on out to Sunday school. You guys can head on out. And while they do that, I just want to say happy Advent season. Glad to have you all here. If you don't know me, my name is Brandon McCaughey. I serve as the lead pastor here, and it's just a joy. I want to just say thank you for the joy and privilege it is to be able to serve here as pastor. I know all the pastors on staff just consider it a great privilege to be able to serve here at High Point, and so thank you for giving us that privilege. And so, and the youth, you heard TW talk about the youth going out. My encouragement to you is to talk to some of those youth. Hear their story, ask them about what Christ was teaching them in those moments of serving, and it's a great opportunity for you to remind yourself what childlike faith really looks like. You know, I think as adults, as we go on in the faith, we forget that simplicity of the gospel and the beauty of what Jesus does in our hearts and our minds. We try to make it so complex, and Jesus gives us generational congregation in order that we could look at those kids and see what they do and remind ourselves what childlike faith really looks like. So don't be afraid. The youth actually don't think y'all are scary or weird. They just aren't going to engage you on their own. So it's up to you to go ask them how it was, ask them what the Lord learned, what he was teaching them and what they learned, and see what they do with that. And be encouraged by that by what they share with you. And, you know, they're pretty tired today, so they might just give you some mumbles, but maybe next week would be better, you know. Well, church, we're in John chapter 1. I would encourage you to open your Bibles this morning. If you didn't bring your Bible, let me remind you, it would be a great thing to bring your Bible to church, since we want you to open it and read it and look at it and hold it. And if you don't own a Bible or you need one, there are several on the back table. Feel free to take those. If you know somebody that doesn't own a Bible, you can always come and take one and give it away. We want people to have God's Word. That is very important for us. And as you turn to John chapter 1 this morning, let me encourage you to, let's bow our heads together and let's pray and ask the Lord to illuminate this passage for us. Father of light, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, the redemption he brings to our hearts and our minds and to our sin-stained life. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who shows us the way, who calls us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And Lord, today as we open up these precious words in John chapter 1, I pray that we would leave here changed. Show us the way you would have us to go. Help us to not just hear the words, but help us to become more like Jesus. Glorify yourself in and through this time, and we ask this in his precious name. Amen. John 1, 1 through 5, it's such a great passage. Gino just shared it with us. I'm going to share it with you again because we just can't hear these words enough. It is just one of the best beginnings of a gospel, I think. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Church, the purpose for this Advent season is to focus our attention on this light, Jesus, all this light that he is, all that he shines in our lives. Everything that we see him say and do, everything that he's doing in our lives, to believe that and to cling to it, despite the fact that we live in a dark, sin-stained world. John tells us very clearly in his gospel just who this Jesus is. In verse 1, he says, "The Word was God." Amen. And then back in verse 14, he says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And can I tell you, church, these two verses are exceedingly significant. Because everything that we are as believers, everything we believe as Christians, is dependent upon those two things. That Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. Fully God, fully human. Jesus was the God of the universe, and he left his throne in heaven and came to earth and put on flesh to dwell among us as a man. And he did all of this so that John, as he tells us in John 20, 31, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Church, this is my hope for this series. Not that we would just be encouraged by these things that we hear in this Advent season. Not that we would just have the joy of Christmas. Those are nice things. But that each person that walks through those doors would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God, and that in our believing we would have eternal life through him. Amen. This is what Christmas is all about. In fact, this is why we do everything. This is everything that we do as pastors is summed up with this truth, that you would know Jesus Christ and have eternal life in him. It's why we preach. It's why we sing. It's why we pray. It's why we have fellowship. It's why we have small groups and Sunday school. It's why we even have staff meetings. We do all of those things so that Jesus Christ can be known, can be part of your life, and shine his light into the depths of your heart and give you new life. We want our people, we want everyone to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. So this morning we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 of John chapter 1, but we're going to look at them backwards. So I want to just tackle them in reverse order. So we're going to begin with verse 5, just to throw you off a little bit. There's a reason for the madness. Don't worry. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Some translations say the darkness has not understood it. One of the other places John uses this Greek word is in John 12:35, and it says this: "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you." You see, the light cannot be overcome. It is triumphant. And Christ has given us his triumphant light so that we can walk in a dark world and not be overcome, not be overtaken. Because the light of Christ will always triumph over the dark. Now, three things come to mind for me when you think about the light of Christ in contrast to the darkness of our sin-infected world. The first thing is that the light that Jesus brings puts chaos to flight. Have you ever wondered why the sinful world feels so chaotic? Why things that are wicked and evil just seem like they're just a mess? There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no anything. It's just madness. And it's that chaos that Jesus came into the world to get rid of. He came to save your life from the chaos of the darkness of sin. And when Christ enters your life, his light comes into your heart and he sets you at peace. Now, that doesn't mean your life becomes perfectly easy. But it means that you can have peace and joy and hope amidst the darkness. Amen. He dispels the darkness of our sin-stained hearts, and he then begins to change us. And he molds us into children of the light. John 12:36 reminds us, he says, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Christ has given us his light so that we can become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. That the sin we wrestle with can be cast aside and we can become holy, sanctified. Well, the second thing that the light of Jesus comes to do is it reveals to us God's truth. How do you know anything that God's word tells you? The light of Christ has illuminated your heart and your mind to see its truth. John writes in John 3:19-21, the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Not only does the light reveal to you God's truth, it exposes the sin in your own heart, the wickedness that you cling to and love. You see, light shows us what's really going on in the dark. You know, some of you might have been teenagers once, and your parents came on and flipped on the light, and you were like, whoop, we got caught. Light removes shadows and tells us how things really are. It shows us the truth. And you and I can never see ourselves as who we really are until we begin to see ourselves through the eyes of Jesus. The light brings people to God by revealing to them their need for a Savior. How do you know that you're a sinner until the light comes on and you can see the contrast between the darkness and the light? The light of Jesus shows us the truth that our darkened hearts are sin-stained, that we need to be called into a right relationship with our Savior. Now, the third thing the light of Jesus brings us is guidance. It shows us the way to go. John 12:35 says, the one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. That's right. Hallelujah. You see, when you're stuck in sin, you can't see the way. You don't even know that what you're doing is wicked. In fact, the entire world looks at things that are sinful and wicked and calls them good. But when you receive the light of Christ, when you believe that he is the light, he calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So us as Christians, we might stumble through this world, but it's never without direction or meaning because his light has shown us the way to go. Because the word is the light for our path. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, when John says in verse 5 that the light shines in the darkness, he means that Jesus has come into this dark, sinful world and that he himself is the light. He is what we need to defeat the darkness. Jesus tells us this exact truth in John 8:12. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is our light and the one who shines in the darkness. So when you believe in Christ, not only are you called out of darkness, out of your sinful practices, he is molding you into children who reflect his glory, who reflect his light into this world. Paul reminds the Ephesians, he says, at one time you were darkness. He doesn't say you were in darkness. You were darkness. Darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. John 1:5 makes it clear that the light will triumph and darkness will no longer rule the day. Jesus will be victorious. And every single one of us who believe in him, who are called the children of the light, will participate with him in that victory. And I think this is something we need to remind ourselves of often. Because how easy is it to look at the darkness of this world and be discouraged? Amen. Right? Does it seem like the darkness is gaining ground? Like the darkness is winning the day? Are you discouraged by the sin in this world? By the sin in your own heart? I'm going to share with you a quote from J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Return of the King, because it's just great, and I could never say it better. And I think it shows us what John is telling us here in verse 5. Tolkien writes this. He says, "There, peeping among the cloud rack above a dark tor, high up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach." You see, this was at a moment where Sam was in the midst of all the darkness surrounding him. He was in the center of it all. Evil was present everywhere, and he was so overcome that he felt like he had no hope. He couldn't see any light, couldn't see anything good. And it was in that moment that he sees a star twinkling above the dark clouds. And he realized that despite the fact that he was surrounded by wickedness, that darkness seemed to be everywhere, that the shadows of this world are only a small and passing thing. That the light, it reigns on high, and it will triumph over the darkness. Church, sometimes I think we just need to look past all that darkness and look to the hope that we have in the light of Christ. Do you believe he is triumphant or not? And if you believe he is triumphant, then this darkness in this world will never win the day. May your heart cling to that truth, and may it give you peace and hope and joy as you fix your eyes on the light of Christ. Now look at verse 4. He says, "In him," in Christ, "was life, and the life was the light of men." You see, notice John doesn't say through him was life, but in him was life. This does not mean that Jesus is just simply the possessor of life. It means that he was and is and always will be the source of all life. Amen. There is no life outside of Christ. When you were born, you received physical life from Christ. And when you were spiritually born, when you received new life, as a Christian, you received that spiritual life through Christ. Amen. Yes. All life comes from Jesus. Even the birds and the grass and the fields and the flowers, all of those things have life because Christ has given them and sustains their life. Amen. And they proclaim his glory. This means, church, that the light that shines in the darkness is the light of his life, the light of Christ. The life of Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So when you want to see that light, look to the life of Jesus. See what he said and did, who he was and what he came to do. And believe that the light will triumph over the darkness because the light is life itself. Amen. Psalm 36:9 tells us, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." The light of Jesus lives and grows and moves and expands. And it is a spring that flows from everything that Jesus is. And it gives life to everything it touches. People in this world don't need your advice. They need you to point them to Jesus. Amen. We don't need anything more than the life of Christ. He is the life. Which means without Jesus, people are walking in death and in darkness. This is why we have an innate fear of death and darkness, right? Because they are the opposite of life and light and goodness and hope and all the things that we cling to. Isaiah reminds the Israelites that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. Without Jesus, church, we remain in darkness. We remain in sin. We remain in bondage and in death. But we walk through this Advent season towards Christmas as a reminder that every year, when we have trouble seeing anything but the dark shadows of this world, that He has redeemed my soul from going down into the pit, and my life shall look upon the light. The light is life, and that life has triumphed over the darkness. Now in verses 2 and 3, John says, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. John's point is that this light that shines in the darkness is seen most clearly when we look at the one through whom all things were made. The light that shines His light upon us is our Creator. In fact, He's the Creator of all things. So as you walk, as you see the stars and the clouds and the trees and the birds, remind yourself that they are speaking His glory. They are proclaiming who He is because He was their Creator and they reflect who their Creator is. The powers of darkness cannot overcome the light, because it was the light that created the darkness. Nothing was made without Christ. Nothing is created can ever be more powerful than its creator. Jesus, the light, will triumph because He is Creator God. And the powers of darkness know this to be true. They testify that it's true. In Matthew 8:29, Jesus comes before two men possessed by demons in the Gadarenes, and they cry out to Him. They say, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" See, they thought Jesus was jumping the gun, that He was going to claim His victory over them before it was time. See, but they knew that there was, in fact, a time set for their destruction. They knew they had already lost that battle. And they knew that that man that walked towards them, Jesus the Christ, had power and authority over everything that they were. If He decided to speak them out of existence, He could have. And even the demons knew that the light would triumph over them as darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You never see a demon in Scripture stand up to Jesus, for the record. I would like to see that happen one time just to see what would happen. But the darkness knows it cannot overcome the light. Now, the last reason we can be sure that the light will not be overcome by the darkness is found here in verse 1. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The phrase, "The Word was with God," means that Jesus and the Father are distinct persons and have fellowship with one another. But the phrase, "The Word was God," tells us that they are one God, not two. Church, we hold fast to the mystery of the Trinity, that God the Father and God the Son have such a unity that they are one God, not two. And they are so distinct that they are two persons and not one. And I'm not leaving the Holy Spirit out. He's still there. But just for the passage's sake, this is what we got. And the light cannot be overcome by the darkness because the light is the living word of God himself. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So my question, church, is what do we do with that? What is our practical application that Jesus the Christ, the life, the light, the creator God, is triumphant over all darkness? He has overcome the world, and he has offered you a place in his kingdom as children of God. So I believe our calling as reflectors of his glory is to wage war against the darkness. Because the darkness will not overcome even the children of light. Because we reflect his glory. So practically, what does this look like? I'm going to give you another Tolkien quote because I'm just a little bit nerdy and I can't. And he writes this in The Hobbit. He says, Saruman believes it is only great power that can hold evil in check. That is not what I have found. I found it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love. Church, this is what it means to wage war against the darkness. To be faithful to reflect his glory. Jesus has called us as his children. He has given us his light. And he's asked us to reflect that light into the darkness. So we need to go out and wage war through acts of kindness and love. John 3:18 reminds us, to let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Amen. It's easy to talk about it. John is saying, get out there and do it. Live it. Stop just keeping it here and put it here. Erasmus said, give light and the darkness will disappear of itself. And Jesus told his disciples this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Reflecting the glory of Christ, being a light in the darkness, means that we let our light shine wherever we are. Doing good works, acts of kindness and love. Because we know the triumphant light has come and he will come again. And he has shown his glory into our hearts and he's driven away our darkness, our sin, and the death that was present there. And he's asked us to shine that truth and that light into the hearts and minds of others. Amen. Church, God has given you new life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he's asked us to glorify himself through us shining our lights into the darkness. Will you shine his light, church? Will you glorify Christ through the very way that you live? Will you glorify him through acts of kindness and love and be a people who wage war on the darkness together? Amen. Let's pray, church. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our life and our light. that you are a creator and you are true God from true God. And we have received all things because of what you have done for us, your sacrifice, your faithfulness, your goodness and love imparted to us in your work on Calvary. So we praise you, Lord, first for delivering us from the darkness, from our own sin-stained hearts, from the wickedness that we cling to. Lord, thank you for sanctifying us, for washing us in your word and showing us the way to go. Lord, I pray for each one here that we would have the courage, the faithfulness, and the fortitude to shine your light into the darkness that's all around us. Lord, that we wouldn't take our light and hide it under a basket, but we would put it on a stand for all to see. Without shame, without fear, knowing that you are going to be victorious. That your light has already won the day. And we need to fix our eyes on the hope of that truth. That even when the light is shining far above us and it's surrounded and covered in darkness, it's still there. So Lord, help us to love others the way that you have loved us. Help us to shine our light into the darkness so that others may glorify you and call you Lord and Savior. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.